Metro Kia of Madison, Madison's trusted Kia dealer. Stop into Metro Kia on the east side of Madison or visit MetroKiaOfMadison.com.
Across ESPN Madison, I'm Alex Gravatt alongside Tarek Saleh and Derek Engler here at the ESPN Madison Everlight Solar Studios, and we are joined by Coach Alvarez live from his undisclosed location. Coach, it's been a while. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing all right. Derek, how you doing?
We're doing great, Coach. Good to hear your voice.
Doing great, Coach. Beautiful weather out here.
Yeah, you know, I think we may have finally caught up to you.
That's awesome.
We may have finally caught up to you in terms of the weather as you're enjoying yourself in Florida.
You're close.
Yeah.
I just checked your weather. You're real close to what we are.
Now, for those of you who have not chimed in a while, this is The Huddle. We've been usually going throughout the football season, but today we get a little special action as we are shortly removed from the NFL draft. I'd love to hear from you guys because I'm surrounded by people who have been around the NFL draft in a way that until this weekend, I really haven't been. Tarek, you were drafted twice.
No doubt.
No doubt. Yeah. So before we get anywhere.
By the way, higher than Shedeur Sanders,
yes.
Just for the record.
But not by Cleveland.
No, not by those Carolina Panthers. The second draft was the
expansion draft.
Well, then I was the first sixth player? Pick. I was the sixth pick in the expansion draft.
Yeah, so you were the first player every I don't know, you know, if our listeners know this, but every team had to put up six players to go into the expansion draft. After one was picked, they could withdraw one of the six. I was one of the six, and I was withdrawn after they picked, I think it was Brandon Sanders, right?
Yes, safety. Brandon Sanders, that's right.
Otherwise, and I only know this because our friend who is the trainer, head trainer at the Cleveland Browns, told me I was next in line. So I was almost a teammate with Tarek Saleh.
I think they took
at
Percy.
Cleveland Browns.
I think, did they take Percy?
Percy Ellsworth. Because they withdrew me.
Yeah.
And Percy was three in our list. So,
well, you were far too important.
Not that much, apparently.
Coach, so that's what these two experienced during the expansion draft. I'd love to hear for just a moment, like, as somebody who had a long and really respected career as a head coach and as an athletic director, what was it like for you as you sat and watched the draft?
You know, it's always interesting for me. First of all, you care about your players. You're hoping that your players will be selected somewhere where they have an opportunity. And, you know, you have scouts come through and coaches come through all year. They're in the offices evaluating players. So, you know, I'm rooting for our guys to have the opportunity to go play in the NFL. So I enjoy it. I really enjoy the chance to watch the draft unfold and see who goes where and what people are trying to load up on or what they think they need. And most of them, I think anymore, you guys correct me if I'm wrong, I think they try to get the best player available rather than loading up or trying to go for weaknesses on their squad.
I'd agree with that. And I think that's probably 90% of the time. There might be a little bit, but that'd be the smaller part of the time that they look for need. Looking for the best player, I think, is the norm.
Especially when you get into the guts of the draft, you know, and the middle rounds to late rounds, where guys maybe slipped and fell to where you didn't think they would. And that's really kind of those diamonds in the rough. That's where you can really find some value. You know, I think, you know, as far as the first round, it's kind of you go to where you really have a need at that position because you don't see too many guys. I mean, this was an extraordinary draft with Shedeur, you know, who was picked as the top quarterback or second quarterback
by many,
obviously after Cam Ward.
Yeah,
to fall to the fifth round to your former team is
Browns, man.
Yeah, that's a
they had a great draft.
So let's start there then. I mean, that's what dominated all conversations. It's really interesting that Shedeur Sanders, who was often projected to be a top five pick, right? He's somebody who has talent. He's somebody who has all of the clout. Some people are saying that potentially he sandbagged some of his interviews so that he could help direct where he would end up. There's all sorts of rumors around that. I mean,
what's the board game? I figured you'd know. I wanted to ask you this off air. He played some board game.
I love
with
board
GMs.
Games.
Yeah, you should know this.
Oh, I don't know this. Oh, yeah. This is huge for the board game.
Trading
community.
Wheat for bricks and
Catan.
Exactly. Settlers he knew it. Catan. I told you, Tarek.
It's a great game. It's a great. We call that the introductory board game.
Oh, yeah. He had
game.
Twitter videos or pictures of him with the game Catan.
And he was playing it with
with GMs. Oh, yeah.
It was a confluence of issues that this guy had that caused all this to happen. I don't think there was this whole, NFL conspiracy against them. I mean, I believe the NFL, they're going to take a dude. If a dude's a dude and he's going to be a first-round quarterback, they're going to take him, right? He had some interviews that might have been off-putting. He's been through a life he's never had to really compete for a job. And I think when you don't have to compete for a job and you're a little bit off putting your interviews, it kind of slips. You slip and slide. And if you're not going to be the starter, they're not going to take a backup potentially in the second or third round. And he went where he went, and it was unfortunate, but fortunate for the Browns. And he'll get a chance, right, Coach?
I think the media really built him up, obviously, higher than his value by the NFL teams. And they're going to take whoever they have rated highest on the board, regardless of position, unless there's a freak that they feel like they have to take early in the draft. But it's obvious they didn't have him rated that highly. And they had him rated as a mid to lower round selection as a quarterback. And and they stuck by that. And I think a lot of times they're blowing up smoke screens about who they're going to take and how they value different people, hoping someone else will take a bad pick.
What Kuiper
but,
have him?
Kuiper had him in the top five. He was emotional.
Kuiper had him high.
He was emotional on day
three. What about Todd, the other guy?
Todd McShay?
Yeah, McShay.
Probably top five. He's top five in everybody's deal.
Yeah, but those guys think they really know football. But to Coach's point, the media really pushed it. You know, I
saw Kuiper crawfishing bad. They were beating him up a little
crawfishing?
Bit on there. He was crawfishing bad.
What is crawfishing, Coach?
What's that?
What's crawfishing mean?
You know, the crawfish going backwards.
Backpedaling.
Coach, when you were athletic director and coach, were there ever players from UW who slid way further than expected in the draft?
They all slid further than I thought. I thought I had them all ranked higher than what they went. I was partial to our players. I thought the way we prepared them, how we practiced, the style of play that we have was conducive, and particularly linemen, defensive players, that they could make an easy adjustment to the NFL, and I think that held true. So, I probably had him ranked, my players ranked higher than some of the NFL, and most of the NFL teams had him ranked.
I think with Shedeur, though, I think this will be good for him. Be able to, he's going to go have a little chip on his shoulder. He's going to go compete. He's going to have to, get in there and grind, maybe harder than he's done before. But, I think he'll be successful. And I don't think Deion was a detriment. I think Deion, the guy loves football. Yeah. He loves his kid. He loves football. I'd love for him to be around our locker room. The guy's a winner.
Yeah.
Well, he will
I agree,
definitely.
And I think,
go ahead, Coach.
No, I think what you said is exactly right. And I think Deion will have him ready. And I'm really anxious to watch him prepare, because I think Cleveland got a steal. I think they got a steal in him.
100%.
I think he'll go on and be a hell of a player. A lot of guys are going to be kicking themselves in the butt. But, you know, Deion is a good coach, a good person, and I think the kid is really solid.
That's a loaded quarterback room, right, Tarek? I mean, you got Flacco, you got
Watson, Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel.
Pickett,
they won't all be there.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't all going to be there. They're going to let go of the old men. No. They're going to keep Shador.
They're going to keep Shador or the draft pick they took before him, Dylan Gabriel.
Well, one of the two. That's the beauty
bait.
Of competition.
A little trade bait there.
We saw when Shador got drafted, he was celebrating. He ran down and dove into his pool. He was jumping for joy, dancing with his brother. I want to know, before we get to break here, what was it like when you got drafted? What was it like when you got that call, Tarek?
Well, it was the next day after we partied pretty hard.
Come on, you got to tell the truth on this, dude. the first three rounds were in one day, right?
Yeah.
On Saturday?
But I had no pressure on me because I wasn't.
No,
I
but was you guys like threw a party, you and Monty.
Yeah.
Right?
Monty had a chance to go in that first day deal.
When that didn't go down, it went into, let's just say, we imbibed a lot. Yeah, I mean, it was,
The pressure was off, though. Then Pete wasn't going, and then the next day, you know, hopefully good things happen. And it did. It all happened. I think Pete went early in the fourth round, and then I went after. I thought I was going in the fifth round. Charlie Weiss called me up, and he's like, hey, you want to be a Jet? And I'm like, absolutely. And then all of a sudden, next pick, went 22, Carolina Panthers, fourth round.
Well, it's one of these things. G-Man is what, so I went up to a charity event for Brooks Bollinger up at the draft, and I took him up, and I'm not going to say names, but former lineman that should have been drafted was not. It was, like myself, an undrafted rookie free agent, and when he didn't get drafted because he threw a big party and he was expected to be, there were keg stands going on, you know, you name it, because there's a lot of stress and just things that go on into that day. All your friends and family are there. If you're having a party like that, or unless you're like Joe Thomas out fishing, so you get rid of all that. You know, I think, you know, it's one of those things where if you don't take it all into perspective, the most important one being that you end up on a squad, whether it be drafted or undrafted, you know, it's all, the rest is all noise. I mean, none of us were first rounders. So, you know, there's money different than fourth and seventh round, of course, but in the big scheme of things, there's not a lot.
Also, we had a lot less pressure. Like, I remember, 30 years ago, it was like, or 25, I don't want to date myself too much here, but it was like the season was ending. You know, we had the pro day the year before we did, but like, I don't know if I'm going to play or not. You know, I'll get in the sales, you know, all good.
Yeah, and obviously.
Then they're like, no, you could have a chance. And I'm like, this was like September or October. I'm like, I'll worry about that after the year, right? And Coach did a great job reducing all the stress, eliminating the agents, and now you can't eliminate anything. I mean, you're inundated with social media. The agents are already determined before the season.
Coach could tell you, you know, what he did with agents.
And that I'd love to hear, but I think we need to get to break here. We've got a jam-packed show. We've got Jack Nelson, who was just drafted.
Oh, all right.
We've got Chris Ballard, the Colts general manager, scheduled to join.
We've got a lot to get to here.
Yeah, Coach Alvarez pulling some strings for us behind the scenes.
Sala.
And we will get to what Coach did with agents coming up next. This is The Huddle on ESPN Madison. Huddle with Barry Alvarez rolls on as we have coming up shortly. Jack Nelson's going to join the show. We're hearing about draft day experiences from folks who were potential draft picks, actual draft picks, and of course Coach Alvarez, who didn't like dealing with agents as a head coach and as athletic director. Coach, before the commercial break, we did ask you, or we teased it a little bit here. But what did you do with agents? What was your interaction with them like?
None. I wouldn't deal with agents. I'll deal with the assistant coaches, the head coach, general manager, anybody with the within the organization, but I'm not going to deal with agents.
And coach, you had a policy that we weren't going to have. You weren't allowed to. The rules were you're not able to engage an agent until after the season, if I remember.
Right. Yeah, the rules were stricter then, much stricter. So you didn't have them hanging around. You know, you had scouts and coaches at practice every day, all from the time you start camp, but not agents.
So can you describe a little bit your relationship with these coaches out there and general managers who are thinking about drafting your players? And, I mean, for example, the Steelers have a really strong reputation for drafting Badger players. Is that something that you and the current staff have helped set up a relationship with?
Well, first of all, you have Chris Ballard, one of our former players there. He knows the style of program that we run, how physical a program we run, what we demand of our players, and that's what they want in the Steeler program. They want toughness. They know when they draft a Wisconsin kid, they know what they're going to get. And so that's important for them. You know, you can watch all the film you want. You can go in and watch a practice here or there, a little bit of practice throughout the year. But unless you really know the coaches and the style of practice that's year-round, you're not exactly sure what you're going to get. But Chris knew the type of player he's going to get from Wisconsin.
And, Coach, you're absolutely right. And that goes beyond that. It goes into the franchises that had drafted, Wisconsin players in the past and know what type of player Pittsburgh Steelers, you mentioned them, obviously.
Right.
The New York Giants. I know, John Mara still talks about what kind of player he gets in a Wisconsin Badger at the New York Giants. And there's other franchises that are like that, that know how they come out of the University of Wisconsin Badger football program, and they're pro ready. And I think that's so important for, all the future Badgers. And as long as we continue to do what, we've done in the past and coach them upright, they'll be ready.
And ready they were. This is the 18th straight season where the Wisconsin Badgers have had a draft pick. That's the seventh longest streak in all of college football. But this was also the longest that Wisconsin has had to wait since 1990 to have one of their players called. Now, I'll ask all three of you, as all three of you have a lot of vested interest. What's the importance of having Badgers go to the league outside of just me being a fan and being excited to watch them on Sundays?
I'll defer to Coach on this.
Well, I think the more exposure you get, the more we get our players around the country at different teams, the better it is to sell our program. It helps recruiting. It's good for our fans. It's somebody for them to follow. And it's just healthy for the program. It's healthy for football at the university.
And Coach, right, Tark? I mean, when I'm watching it with my family and my son, and even my oldest when he was growing up, teams that we had really no interest in, we'd count up how many, and when I say this, on both teams, count up how many Badgers, plural, on each team, and we'd root for who had more.
100%. And, having those guys out there, that tells a story, that narrative gets out there, what kind of program we have. It builds the brand. We're tough, smart, dependable. We're going to be there on, every play. We're going to work hard in the weight room, work hard, in the film room. And that reputation goes throughout the league, and then it permeates into recruiting. And you get guys to come here because they know they're going to be prepared when they go to the NFL.
So,
one thing a lot of, coaches, you wouldn't ever think of this. The layman wouldn't think of this. Administrators in the NFL, what they want to know, what kind of locker room guy is he? Is he a guy you want in your locker room? Because if you get a bad guy, a guy that doesn't get along with people, someone that's disruptive, they can disrupt your entire team. So those things are all important, and they know what they're going to get with our guys.
All right. And somebody who did get out there, and he's going to the Atlanta Falcons, Jack Nelson scheduled next. We're going to get to him now, so I will leave you with this. He's going to be pro ready, and that's something that we know that the Wisconsin Badgers are going to do, and that's thankful in part to the three of you. So we'll have Jack Nelson on the other side. This is the ESPN Madison Huddle. with the 218th pick in the NFL draft. The Atlanta Falcons selected our next guest, Jack Nelson. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
I'm doing well. Tarek, Derek?
Doing great. Hey, congratulations.
Fantastic. Congrats,
thank
man.
You. Thank you very much.
I always love to see
Jack, you. Coach Alvarez here. Congratulations to you. We're
thank
proud
you,
of
Coach.
You.
Appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Now, Jack, I got to start here. When you were drafted, you got the call. What was that moment like?
To be honest, I mean, it was just a big relief. Just a stressful day, you know, kind of a stressful last couple of months with the whole draft prep, combine. But to finally get that call and, you know, kind of put the cap on it, it was.
Oh, Jack, you still there?
Yeah.
All right. We might be losing Jack here. We are going to effort that, and we'll give Riley a second behind the glass to figure out how to get Jack back sounding good. But Jack Nelson.
Hello?
Oh, there we are. Jack?
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yes, there you are. We got you back. It sounds like you're in a car. You headed down to Atlanta?
No, not yet. No, not yet. I'm just getting back visiting Chimray from Waukesha, Chimray DK.
Oh, yeah.
Old teammate, so...
Fantastic.
Awesome. Congrats to him, too.
So do you have any relationships or friendships on the Falcons at this point? Have they reached out to you?
They've reached out to me a little bit. But, I mean, I don't know anybody else on there. Got added to a group chat that I can only assume is the O-line. but, you know, a lot of numbers I don't recognize. But, you know, I'm looking forward to getting down there and meeting those guys.
Fantastic.
You know, Jack, I'm sure with your agent, who I believe – is one of our own in Joe Panos. Am I mistaken?
Yep. That's yeah. Right.
So you guys probably looked at both those tackles, right? Jake Matthews at left and is it McCrary? McGrary at right?
Yep. Yep.
You know, and McGrary's got, you know, he's going to be a free agent after this year. Jake's getting up there in age, mid-30s or thereabouts. Obviously, they got a steal with you in the seventh round on potentially being a swing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm real excited. I think it's a great position to be in for myself.
Yeah, I was impressed when I looked at that, and I thought that would be a great opportunity for you. You know, obviously, seventh round, sometimes, you know, and I was an undrafted free agent, but I had seventh round calls from you know, different coaches and franchises where I almost enjoyed being able to pick the team I wanted to go to based on depth chart, et cetera, with my agent. But I looked at this and I thought, wow, you know, they really, I mean, this was, they obviously earmarked you and probably felt pretty good about getting you where they did.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just, you know, the big thing was I wanted to go somewhere where I'd have a lot of opportunity and, you know, somewhere that I was wanted. And I think I really lucked out and checked both those boxes.
So you feel like this is a good place for you to grow your career?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there's some great old linemen down there. You know, even though they're getting a little old, you know, at least this year to really pick their brain and learn from some of the best. And then, you know, then when the opportunity presents itself, kind of go out there and do my thing. So.
Hey, have you talked to the old line coach yet? And who
yet.
Is that? Do you know who that is? I see a couple assistants online. Who's the, is it Dwayne?
I can only
find
the assistants as well. Yeah. On the Falcons website.
Yeah, there's not a lot on there. Hey, you don't care. You're just going to show up and grind, right? That's all that matters.
That's right.
So it could be good to have a new one.
You're right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So who on the team called you? Was it the general manager?
Yep, the general manager, and then I spoke to the owner, and then I talked to the head coach.
Did you talk to any of them before that point in the draft?
Not them in particular. I had a Zoom meeting with them, you know, about a month ago, but it wasn't with, you know, it was with some scouts, so.
And did you have any idea that it was going to be the Falcons at that point, or were there other teams that had really shown some interest?
I mean, you know, prior to the draft, you know, my agent was telling me, you know, okay, these guys, you know, I was talking to them, they really like you, and, you know, based on just how my experiences went with other teams, you know, I thought I had an idea. But the Falcons weren't one of them, so it was kind of a little bit of a surprise.
A fantastic surprise,
probably a surprise for them to see you slip down to where you did. you know. So, like I said, steal for the Falcons. And Jack, I know I'm speaking for Tarek and Coach, but your biggest accomplishment, 4-year starter at the Wisconsin Badgers, man, that is awesome. You know, obviously all Big Ten. You know, you have been a staple in what we all feel it's got to be a core and a foundation of that program, and we appreciate that.
Well, thank you very much. That means a lot. I really appreciate that.
8447.
It really does. I think your experience here, Jack, and all the repetitions that you have and have had and experiences you've had really will carry over well and help you make that easier, make that next adjustment into the NFL.
Amen.
Coach, that's the plan. That's the plan.
844-770-3776. This is The Huddle on ESPN Madison with Barry Alvarez. I'm Alex Gravatt alongside Tarek Salah, Derek Engler, and Jack Nelson, who is the newest member of the Atlanta Falcons and a former Wisconsin Badger. Now, Jack, I've always wondered this, and this is an absolutely ridiculous question, but how do you find an apartment in 2 weeks in a city that – have you ever been to Atlanta before?
Never, ever.
So how are you going to find an apartment?
I mean, I'll be in a hotel. For the time being. So, you know, I don't really know when I'd have to start looking for an apartment. But I know that, you know, I'm going down there early next week for a rookie minicamp, and then after that, I'll probably stay there for whatever team activities they got going on. So I'll just be in a hotel.
They'll pay for the hotel all the way, I think, up to training camp, if I'm not mistaken. And then there's a discounted rate if you want to stay at a hotel. Some guys like that. you got breakfast in the morning, right?
Low overhead.
Yeah, you know, house cleaning.
Yeah, Atlanta's not too expensive. Not like New York City. You'd be able to get a good place. You know,
it's traffic though. You got to keep it close.
Yeah. Keep it close. To the facility. Live in the facility, man.
Jack, as you've got
not as bad as Tolzien. He had a place in the facility.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That sounds like a plan, though. That's it.
Tarek, Derek, as you guys are talking to, who is, you know, starting off their professional career, do you have any bits of advice as he starts this off?
I'd say embrace the grind, because right now, you know, you're going to come up on rookie camp, and then you're going to go OTAs, and then you got, you know, I'm telling you, the biggest, most important time to prepare is that time leading up to training camp. Because a lot of times early on, my first year, I kind of took it easy those 3 weeks up to the camp, and I learned my lesson, and then from there on out, I grinded. You could take a little week of, you know, low dose working out, but you got to be ready once training camp starts. It's a war, it's a battle, but you're built for that, and I know you're gonna crush it because of who you are.
Yeah, Jack.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, just get in the hip pocket. First of all, find the vets that are respected, that are knowledgeable, and get in their hip pockets.
Yeah, stand your ground. You know, I said keep your mouth shut, but, you know, low profile, speak when spoken to, and don't let anybody get over on you. Nobody. You hear me? You bow up when you need to, only when you need to.
You just don't get in a fight and then, you know, miss the right hook and almost hit your head coach, a la Tarek Salah and Butch Davis.
Go to the body. Don't go to the head. Go to the body all the time. But don't go fighting all the time. Just go to work.
Yep.
All right, Jack, one last question for you, and we'll let you get out of here.
Awesome.
What did the University of Wisconsin mean to you while you were here, and what do you think you're going to bring from here to the NFL?
I mean, it means everything to me. You know, that football program, that city, the state, I mean, to be a legacy, to go there and meet all the guys and have my little brother there with me, I mean, those are the best years of my life. I hold them very dear, but, you know, I really want to bring that being said, it wasn't always easy there, you know, with the coaching changes, new O-line coach, you know, some of the adversity we faced, but, you know, I want to bring my toughness and my experience, you know, with the Wisconsin Badgers to the next level and really show that off.
All right, well, thanks so much, and one more time from all of us here at ESPN Madison, congratulations on being a new part of the NFL.
Thank you
so much,
Jack. Guys.
Good luck, Jack. Go get him, buddy. Go get
him. Thank you.
All right, that was Jack Nelson, the newest Atlanta Falcon as a 7th-round pick and another part of an illustrious group of Wisconsin Badgers to be drafted in the NFL draft. We'll have more coming up next. This is the ESPN Madison Huddle with Barry Alvarez.
prison, fucking military right there.
What?
The fucking difference.
If you missed any of Jack Nelson, the newest Atlanta Falcon from the Wisconsin Badgers, you can go back and listen to that anywhere you get your podcasts, the Wisconsin, ESPN Wisconsin app, or I'm sure you'll find it repurposed on social media. I'm Alex Gravatt alongside Tarik Salek, Derek Engler, and of course, Coach Barry Alvarez. This is The Huddle with Barry Alvarez. And Coach, it's just exciting to hear more and more guys from Wisconsin go to the NFL. Isn't that right?
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, the guys that go, the thing that I'm so proud of is they represent us so well. I'm really proud of how our players have played, how they play. I hear so much when I'm in different communities and traveling, the positive things said about our players, not only as players, but their value in the communities.
Coach, I got to ask you, I don't know, you might have told Tarik and I the story, but what was your experience or what was Jake's experience if you weren't there that you can recall, you know, when he was going through the draft? I'm talking, of course, about your grandson, Jake Ferguson, tight end,
right?
Pro Bowler, Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah. I can remember us all sitting here going crazy because we went I can't remember whether we waited a day. He went to didn't go to the fourth round. I think they had three rounds the first day. Everybody was climbing the walls. And but you know, once he got there, I think as I understand it, you know, and I haven't heard anything different, he had a really easy transition. You know, I went down to one of his camps early on. I happened to know Schottenheimer. I knew his father, his grandfather, his father. I knew his family, and man, he saw me. Came over and raved about Jake, and so did Jerry Jones. And so he made a really easy adjustment there, and just, you know, he likes football. So he's having fun while he's there. But it's been a great experience for him.
Yeah, and he's really athletic. So I think that made it a lot easier for him.
Yeah, probably you have those two things. You love to play the game, and yeah, you're athletic. Toughness. I mean, at least we'd love to play the game, Tarik.
Yeah, yeah, that's what we got. We love to play the game, but we're not athletic. Can't spell cat. Well, but it's
hey,
all
speak
good.
For yourself.
You could point one out. You could always point a cat out.
I know a cat from a dog.
Well, and that's the thing. That did you guys hear about this? The wide receiver out of Arizona who didn't like football, when asked, he was like, oh, they asked him outright, do you like football? And he said, nope.
Well, I bet he didn't get drafted.
No, he was the 8th overall draft pick, Teteroa McMillan. He was, a lot of people wanted him to be a Green Bay Packer. He must like football. He's very good at it, but he doesn't watch film. And when asked, he said he doesn't like football.
Who drafted him?
Who did draft him? Riley, you got that?
That's the Carolina Panthers.
Carolina Panthers.
Oh, there you go, Tarik. Yep. That explains everything.
They have a two franchise.
You think the Steelers are drafting that guy? You think the New England Patriots are drafting that guy? Nope.
No, only the loser franchises I was a part of. That's what we bring in those guys.
Do you like football?
Nope.
Hey, let's draft him. Top 10.
Okay, see ya.
Coach,
Carolina's a basketball state. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Coach, if you had a guy answer that question that way, what are you doing? Like, is he playing? Is he part of the program? What's happening?
Well, if I was recruiting him, I would not be recruiting him any longer. And if he was one of my players, I wouldn't ask him that. Because I would know if he didn't like football if he was one of my players. And he probably wouldn't play much. I would imagine if you don't like it, it's hard to put in the effort and the time that we ask.
I mean, right, your athletic ability can really only take you so far. I mean, it can take you so far in college if you're really that talented, but this is a grown
Yeah,
men's.
I mean, that's a job. Right? These guys, these two have gone through it. It's a job, man. Yeah. You get up the point, it's 24/7.
I look at the Philadelphia Eagles, right? And you just look at what they built there. You know, and Sirianni is just like curmudgeon, crazy like guy. Like that's what I picture him just being, a badass, if I can say that. But the guys that are on that team, they will freaking die for each other, and they love the game. They fight their butts off, and they're all really athletic. I mean, the recipe hasn't changed. And what you see with what the gold standard is, those guys love football. They play hard. They're physical. They stop the run. They run the ball.
They do it at Kansas City. Look what they've done.
They do it in Detroit, too. Yeah. And that's, I mean, Detroit continues to do that, and they get those guys.
So like Tarek said, and Coach knows this, because this is what we were coached all the way 30 years ago going through college. And what prepared me, you know, as an undrafted free agent, you know, going out to New York, I mean, and being thrown in literally as baptism by fire and thrown in the trenches, you know, I was prepared from a mental toughness standpoint. There was no question.
Do you think the Green Bay Packers are doing that? Do you think they're drafting for that?
I think that's the goal.
That's hard to ask.
I don't. I mean, it is. They're working towards it.
That's a tough question, G man. I mean, you can go a lot of different directions with that.
That's fair. But we're here to ask the hard
questions.
And
speculate, obviously.
And speculate a little bit. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Green Bay Packers and how they continue to draft Georgia guys. Coming up next, this is the ESPN Madison Huddle. Former Wisconsin Badgers are joining the NFL, and two former Badger plus other teams in Chimre DK going to the Titans and Graham Mertz going to the Texans. But Jack Nelson, who was on the show just a few moments ago, if you missed any of that, you can go back and listen on ESPN Wisconsin app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can I throw a curveball in here?
Do it.
Solid. What, did you ever think that Graham Mertz in this class would be the highest, you know, whether it be former or current Badger draft pick?
Chimre DK was.
Oh, he was.
Chimre DK was the very first pick in the fourth round going to the Titans. Oh,
but so did Mertz went in the fourth round, right?
Mertz was a sixth round pick, 197.
Okay, I got the two flipped.
Where did he go?
He went to the Texans.
Okay. Excellent.
But did you ever think that he was going to be a draft pick when he was here at Wisconsin?
No, I didn't. I didn't think he'd play at Florida. Was it Florida where he played?
Yep.
Yeah. But, you know, I think – on script, he's okay. Off script, he's not. You know, struggles with that. So maybe he's grown.
Now, we'll DK's see. Another story. I remember watching
DK run
with Coach Alvarez and his suite at Camp Randall. And his wife, Cindy Alvarez, was all – oh, and this is when he was young. Like, that was her favorite player for sure, because he's a star. He's going to be a player. He'll play. He'll have a good career. He stays healthy.
Coach, can you attest? Is that true? Cindy's favorite player?
I'm not going to go that far. There's a tight end she liked.
Not favorite player.
There's a tight end she really liked.
Yes, that's right. Favorite receiver, other than tight end.
You know, Mertz, I think, obviously, he's probably grown a lot. You know, playing in Florida, being able to do those different things. I think it was unfair to put him in that position right away. I think it was tough on everybody. You know, it was tough on the kid that went to Notre Dame. You know, so each guy had to take their path.
You think about Graham Mertz. You think about the experiences. I mean, he's been playing forever. He's experienced about everything. He's about, I don't know, Derek. I don't know if there's any years left to play if he wanted to.
What was his seventh year?
Something like that.
You know, you got medical. You got the COVID year. You know, so it had to have been six or seven for sure.
That's awesome. And then you need to grow from that. Because I think when he came here, he had two different high schools that he went through. Yeah. Then he came here and he was anointed the starter. So like I don't think he ever had a compete start. So I think when he went to Florida, you get to learn, you get to compete. Hopefully he won the job down there, and that's important. And he probably grew a lot. And now he's probably ready to go, hopefully.
All right, well, let's talk about someone who actually was a lifelong Badger, Hunter Woller, who went in the seventh round, just a couple picks after Jack Nelson. He's going to the Colts, and I want to hear, like, he got drafted.
Okay, so we talk about locker room guys. Coach mentioned that in the previous segment. That's the locker room guy you want. That is the locker room guy you want. We just talked about Graham Mertz when he was here. There was a lot of scuttlebutt, you know, about whether or not he was truly a leader on that team. Hunter Woller is exactly what you want as a Wisconsin Badger entering the NFL. And, of course, our GM and Chris Ballard, former Badger, who takes care of Badgers, you know, saw him at the seventh round and picked him. And thank God. It's awesome that we're going to have him on, too, by the way. That is very cool. And, you know, I don't know, Coach, how much you watch Hunter this year, but that's one of our old Badger safeties right there.
Yeah, he is. I really like to watch him play. I was really happy, and I'm happy that Chris – you know, he's going to have a chance to play for the Colts and our old friend Chris Ballard.
Yeah, and he's getting drafted as a linebacker here, which is interesting. He plays downhill. He's one of those punisher safeties that we've had here at UW. But what does it mean that a guy is going to go into the NFL with that kind of versatility being drafted as something that he didn't even play?
Well, I could tell you this. There's a lot of different packages that you play, and you get a guy like that, and I – you know, I don't know if he's going to be the first guy, and you know, which he can do, but, you know, first and 10 run stuffer. But he's going to be able to play in a lot of different packages, a lot of blitz packages, whether, you know, blitzing up the middle on the edge, then, you know, playing that tight end in the slot. He's perfect. He can cover a lot of guys and do a lot of different things. So he's positioned well to be successful in whatever's linebacker. It's kind of semantics. Linebackers, you know, that bigger safety, he's going to fit that role really well for them.
And Coach, he is that kind of locker room guy. He's somebody who's excited. I mean, he's been living right in Luke Fickell's pocket the whole time. What does it mean to have a guy like that who's a standout?
Well, everyone wants to be a leader, but when the best, you know, one of the better players on the team is the voice in the locker room, obviously he's going to be more effective than somebody that's just going to spout off and be the voice. I mean, you can have a lot of voices. All the voices aren't good. You know, you have a voice in the locker room all the time, but not necessarily the right voice.
Yeah, and then, you know, he backed it up on the field, practice.
Yeah.
And of course, on game day.
So obviously.
Know, so that's where it really, if you're going to be a true leader, you back it up, and he did.
So obviously you have Tarik and Derek, who are great leaders and the voices you wanted in the locker room. But Coach, were there any other voices who maybe rose up and weren't the right voice, or do you, either of you guys remember having a guy like that?
Well, sure. I'm not going to name him tonight, man.
Throw him under the bus.
We're not naming.
Here, hold on, Tarik's pulling out his list.
Yeah. How much time do you have,
Derek Angler?
You know, I my former unit in the offensive line. You know, you don't want a lot of big talkers. I mean, we like to let sleeping dogs lie. You know, with those tons of fun and those, you know, werewolves on the other side of the ball. You know, that we got to line up against. You know, that's not what we're about. But in the locker room, you truly see the leadership. They say the right things. They know when to motivate guys, whether it's individually or as a team. You know, you can see that Hunter Woller is that, you know, and, you know, I just, you see how he plays on the field, but he also takes guys aside. He'll take them under his wing. He'll talk to the team. He'll do it all. And that's what you want in the locker room.
No doubt. And being you know what? Go ahead, Coach.
I'm just going to say, we talk about this, but I think there may be issues with a lot of teams where the voice in the locker room is not the right voice. It's someone that's always grumbling, somebody that's complaining, someone that always has an issue, regardless of whether it's equipment, whether it's a practice time, whether it's the length of practice, whether it's the type of how much hitting you're doing in practice, or, you know, you can have a guy like that can really disrupt a team. So when we say the voice in the locker room, there are potentially a lot of different voices, and to have a good, you know, the positive voice in the locker room is so important.
So, you know, first of all, it starts with your actions, right? What you do speaks really loud, and that's number one. And then you get these guys that are sniveling, you know, and they become, I don't know, almost like locker room lawyers. I don't know. We have in the NFL, you got a couple of those guys who think they have all the answers to everything. But if you have people sniveling, complaining, and being negative, that brings down the room, right? So you want to eliminate those guys, and it's more about what you do and then how you use your words. When, you know, the motivators, those are hard. I mean, if you're going to give a speech, you know, it's hard to give a speech. It's more about how you communicate with your teammates, how you encourage them, how you lead, how you go out through the drills every day. And, you know, the adversity is there, and everybody knows when it's hot and it's ugly out there, who's sticking around, who's going through it, and who's helping each other, you know, that way. And then you build that credibility up, and then when it's time to speak, it gives you a great platform.
So we're talking about Hunter Wohler, who's a great locker room fit, obviously, here on the ESPN Madison Huddle with Barry Alvarez. And there are five other guys outside of Jack Nelson and Hunter Wohler who are going to the league. Joe Huber's going to the Vikings. R.J. Delancey going to the Giants. Bryson Green to the Cardinals. Jaheim Thomas to the Panthers. And John Pius to the Browns. Now, out of those five names, are there any standouts to you?
Well, you watched, is it Pius or is it...
I think he's got a lot of length. I think he's done some good things. I think it was, you know, obviously it was a tough year on the defensive side, but I think he's got some ability that, you know, you definitely see why a team would take him, and be interesting to see how he does, because he has the ability.
Well, and Bryson Green, too.
I think you're right, Tark. Those teams right now, they're looking at potential. Obviously, you know, he wasn't a full, you know, a big name player or anything like that. No, wasn't all league or anything, but potentially, they're looking for guys now that can really make a huge jump as they mature in the next few years.
Coach, you know, and the other thing, and Tarek, you too. I mean, you know, the scouts and GMs are looking at. Are they looking also at schemes, like especially in this transfer portal, we got 40% turnover of teams, and they're looking at athletes, and they're looking at what kind of scheme they're in, and maybe that didn't match up well to your point, Coach, where they're looking at, okay, what can we develop? He's an athlete. He's got this skill set. What can we develop him into? Because unfortunately, in college football, I feel the developmental stage is really it's hurting right now.
I would say they look at more physical potential, you know, the length of their arms, their body structure, how big and strong can they get? Can they get faster? How much improvement can they make rather than how they're playing? Obviously, they're not going to step in and play right away, but I think potential physically is the thing that they're looking for.
And I think that's
Bryson Green, right?
On the lower part of the draft.
Bryson Green, free agent. Physically.
Yeah.
Wide receiver.
Right.
But his injuries really hampered him. And that there's no question. But if he could stay healthy, he could get on a roster.
100%. And he's got a shot to do it in Arizona. Now, we are speculating what NFL GMs are looking for. But we're going to hear from one next, as Chris Ballard, the Colts general manager and good friend of the show, is scheduled to appear. We'll have Chris Ballard on next. This is the ESPN Madison Huddle with Barry Alvarez. Good-looking woman with her arms down me, here in a small town where it feels like home. I got everything I need. The ESPN Madison Huddle with Barry Alvarez rolls on 100.5 ESPN with our first ever general manager. Chris Ballard joins us from the Indianapolis Colts. Chris, how you doing?
I'm good. How are y'all? Thanks for having me on.
I'm doing fantastic. And I've heard from behind the scenes, right? Tarek and Derek are here just telling me again and again how special of a relationship you have with coaches. And so, Coach Chris, I'd love to open it up to you two and hear a little bit more about how you guys met and how you've maintained a relationship through the years.
Well, I will tell you this. I inherited it and then had to adopt it.
Tell me more about that, Coach.
Well, he probably should have ran my ass out of there. I wasn't very good.
Is that accurate? Is that accurate, Chris?
That is very accurate. That is an accurate description of the relationship. I was coming off an ACL, and I had a couple ACLs when I was there, and I wasn't always the most well behaved. But for some reason, he kept me around, and I've always been very grateful.
Well, that's because you're running with Kaz and Scrap and Wilson. All three. For sure.
Well, Chris, I'm glad to hear that he didn't run you all the way out of town. It sounds like you did have a good time while you were at UW, and Coach was a good mentor to you in some ways. Isn't that right?
Look, I owe a lot to... I just look back on it and think a lot about how fortunate I was. Look, like college football, I mean, like football ends for everybody at some point, whether you're in high school, college, NFL, and there's a void. And for them to allow me to stay and be a part of it really influenced, you know, what I became in life, you know, in the long run. And it's one of the things that, you know, looking at, you know, the landscape right now of college athletics, one of the things that really worries me is that, you know, kids they bail out when it gets a little hard, and they're not being able, you know, that, you know, like resilience doesn't always feel really good. And the only way you get resilience is going through some hard things. And that doesn't always mean you're going to be the best. It doesn't always mean you're going to finish first. But if you just endure and work and keep, you know, your mind on the prize of what you're trying to accomplish. I tell my son this all the time, who's in college and plays. And look, I want him to do great, but I always tell him, look, I want you to be a responsible 35-year-old adult to society. And I think that's a lot of what college athletics teaches, you know, how to be young men. And so I've always been very grateful to Coach and, you know, and the staff. I've remained close relationships with them. I ended up getting into coaching a lot of, you know, because of it. I never bothered or badgered Coach a lot for help with the job. I just kind of worked, and when I needed advice, I would reach out, and I was always very appreciative of it.
That's fantastic. And I'm glad to hear that you've been able to lean on him gently, we'll say. But you mentioned that these kids coming through college, they've got a lot going on. They've got a lot on their plate. They sometimes come, they sometimes go. You are getting Hunter Woehler, and you have drafted him as a linebacker. I want to start here. Did you tell him he was going to be a linebacker, or did he find out, like the rest of us on TV, that he was drafted to be a linebacker?
Well, look, we're going to play him at safety. He'll play some dime linebacker. They asked me, where is he going to play? And I said, right down linebacker. But really, he'll play strong safety and be a dime for us. We had a kid when I was with the Chiefs just like him by the name of Daniel Sorensen. And Daniel was at BYU, same size, same speed, reminded me a lot of Hunter. And I think Hunter's going to go on and have a long career, you know, in this league.
That's fantastic. And the versatility that he offers, it feels like, is something that the league has been trending towards. And I know as I look at my Packers, they're drafting guys who are versatile left and right. Is that something that you see coming from him in his athletic profile?
Look, the more you can do, the more jobs you can do, the better chance you get to making the team. So, I mean, I think Hunter's going to – I just remember going through the process with Daniel in Kansas City where it just took him. He was a core team, you know, four team special team player, ended up developing into a really good, strong safety, and then eventually playing in the dime. And I could see kind of the same career path for Hunter.
Chris, sorry about that. When you talk about grinders and guys that take on adversity, old school stuff, when you're looking at Badger football players, do you recognize that? Do we have a reputation of being grinders as we discussed here earlier?
Well, of course. I mean, that's what the program was built on. I mean,
that's what makes sure you feel that way. No doubt.
And And no, there's no doubt. I mean, that's the foundation of it. Like, playing in this league, like, there's no we don't have a transfer portal. So that's like out. That doesn't happen. You know, your transfer portal is we're going to cut you. And so you've got to be able to endure some hard things and some struggles. And, you know, and look, every case is different. I get that. But when a player transfers because he doesn't want to compete or he doesn't want to have to work to earn it, that's a bothersome thing. That's a character flaw in my mind. And that's going to show up. At some point, it's going to show up.
Chris, I got to ask you about one of my, you know, former Badgers offensive linemen, your starting center in Tanner Bordellini. And Bort, Tarek and I got to hang out with him, get to know who he was as a person. But I remember just being like, God, if I only had that athletic ability and that size. I mean, the guy reminds me a lot of Bakhtiari, who was also drafted in the fourth round. But he's obviously been a tremendous success for you. Comment on him and how he's progressing.
Yeah, no, doing really well. Look, I remember last year during the draft, watching him work, like we liked him on tape, but then you watched him work out, and I was like, holy cow, man, this kid is really talented.
Yeah.
So we get him in, and you never know. Like, I think offensive line is one of the hardest positions to make the transition. One, because it's so physical in our league. And so now fundamentals and technique come into play. But to watch him work, and then he has his first start against the Pittsburgh Steelers, which they are excellent up front. And we score it was awesome. I don't know if y'all saw it.
I did.
We score on the first drive, and Tanner is sprinting as fast as he can. And just the joy, like the joy of playing the game. Man, you – like, that's what you want out of a player. Yeah. And so, like, we had a really good center in Ryan Kelly that, you know, has been here for a long time, 9 years, been a Pro Bowl player. But we felt comfortable with Tanner, you know, here moving forward. It's going to be fun to watch him grow and compete this offseason and in the fall camp.
This is the Great Dane Huddle with Barry Alvarez. I'm Alex Gravatt alongside Tarek Saleh, Derek Engler, and Chris Ballard, the Colts general manager, joins the show after drafting Hunter Waller in the seventh round this past weekend.
Yeah, on radio.
And I'm curious, you know, how was that call? Because the Colts social media team did a really good job of getting people out, but you mentioned Tanner's relationship with a former coach. Is that something that you two had talked about beforehand?
Well, look, you know, Hunter's agent I know really well. And one of our scouts had called and said, hey, you know, if he goes undrafted, love to get him in Indy. And he just said, well, I think he's probably going to end up in Denver. Let's see how it works out, but he's probably going to end up in Denver. And I got to watch my language. But I said, no, we'll just draft him. I said, screw that. I said, I'm not losing him. We'll just draft
That's
him.
That's great.
I love to hear it. And so you continue to have a pretty good relationship with the University of Wisconsin-Madison, obviously your alma mater. Has there been a handful of times where you've gotten the chance to draft players from here? I know you also drafted Alec Pierce, who is one of Fickle's guys in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. How's your relationship with Luke Fickle?
It's great. Luke's a good coach, man. I think people – look, we are in an instant – we want success right now. Nobody wants to build anything anymore. I can tell you this, going into Cincinnati and then knowing Luke at Ohio State, he knows what he's doing. He knows how to build a football team, and he will get it going in the right direction. I told him, like, that team in Cincinnati had, I mean, I think they had nine guys drafted. Alec Pierce, like, nobody else, I can't think there's maybe one other team that recruited Alec Pierce. Sauce Gardner. I mean, these kids were three-star, two-star recruits that ended up being great NFL players. I think that's one of the misnomers is that you think if they don't have four or five stars next to their name that they're not good football players, and that's BS. Like, good football players, that, like, eventually got to prove it. And so I thought he did an unbelievable job at Cincinnati. They were disciplined, they were tough, and they were edgy hungry. And it's going to be fun to watch, you know, the transition, especially with the new offensive coordinator and what they do. But look, I believe in Luke. I think he's an outstanding coach, and he is exactly what the university needs, and he will have big success.
Love to hear it. Love to hear it. Tark, you getting fired up?
I'm
taping those ankles?
I'm ready to go, man. I'm ready. He's done some great things. Our defense is going to have a whole facelift. We're ready to rock, man.
Yeah, Coach Grimes, I love his mentality and what we're going to do, you know, offensively. You know, that's we're getting back
and we
to,
got this,
to our
we
roots.
Got a left tackle now from Central Michigan just transferred
that.
In.
I saw that.
We gave him free Colt tickets for life.
That a boy. Well, get them from Tanner. Tanner can afford them.
That's right.
more like get them from Jonathan Taylor. He can really afford them.
There we go.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask about our guy JT up there. How's he living?
Well, he looked pretty good on TV this weekend. I hadn't seen him yet, but he looked good on TV announcing our picks.
Absolutely. No, and Jonathan Taylor is another one of those guys who really fits the Wisconsin mold, and it's excited to see that you have that relationship with the Badgers. Obviously, that's, you know, a huge perk for the University of Wisconsin, but it's also great in terms of results for you and your organization and the Colts. But as we look at it, I also overheard part of what you were talking about earlier with your relationship with Coach Alvarez, who's here with us. It sounds like the two of you have been able to kind of lean on each other and rely on each other throughout your professional lives. How do you build, as a general manager, relationships with, I'd love for it to be the Wisconsin Badgers, but all of these college programs, so that if you don't use a top 30 visit, you know what to expect from a player when they're coming in?
Well, look, I gained a lot more from him than I know he gained from me. So let's make sure we've got this accurate. And then, like, so I was on the road for 12 years as a scout. And the one thing I understood is relationships, how important they were, trust, not like going into a program and people trusting that whatever information they gave you, it was your information. Like, that's a, like, we can't get out of our own way as a league right now. I mean, which nothing pisses me off worse than anonymous sources, people that talk about, you know, some of these kids, and we forget that they are kids. I mean, I know we think they're men yet, but they're not. They're still young kids, and they make mistakes, and we leak information. So, I mean, I do feel – and then my coach – because I did coach for 7 years, so that gives me a little bit of a – it always gave me an edge when I was on the road because I kind of – talked their language, and I already had a relationship with a lot of them. But the relationship part of this and being able to get people to tell you the truth, they know. They do. They know what you're buying, and so it's whether or not they want to tell you or not.
All right, Chris, and I guess if we're talking about the conversations around these kids and what's going on with them and specifically around the draft, I mean, without making a big deal out of it, I guess, what do you make of this Shedeur Sanders drop? I mean, he was somebody who was projected to be so high and ended up falling all the way down to the Browns, way down in the fifth or sixth round. Like, it was a shock on day three when he finally went. What did you make of that?
I mean, anytime, like in our league, like the draft's fickle. You have no idea. Like, the outside world absolutely writes and prints and says whatever, you know, they say on the draft, but you really don't know internally what people are actually thinking. I mean, why does Tom Brady fall to the sixth round? I mean, I can't answer those questions. I mean, it just happens. And then now today with the exposure and the media spotlight that's on the draft, you know, these type of situations just get completely blown up. So, look, Sadur's a good player. He's going to have a really good career. Why he fell, I don't know. I mean, this league, I'm telling you, it's crazy. You never know. You know, why did Jonathan Taylor not go in the top 10 picks of the draft? I'm still mind boggled by that one. Nobody was bitching about that.
Did you ever think to yourself you might need to pull the trigger on Shedeur?
We had talked about it, you know. We had talked about it, but we were going to wait till late and take a quarterback in either the sixth or seventh. We had some other needs and players that we needed to fill. But look, he's going to be a good pro. He's going to be a good player in our league. Like, it doesn't – like, I know the world outside makes it And look, it does matter financially a little bit, but at the end of the day, whether you're the first pick of the draft or whether you're an undrafted free agent, it's what I love about the NFL. You've got to prove it. We don't really care. Like, I really don't care. I'll tell all our rookies when they get here in 2 weeks for rookie minicamp, like, okay, the excitement's over. We're happy to have you. Now you have to prove it between the lines. And if you don't, you will not be here. It's not real, you know, we live in a very black and white world. You know, here are the things we're going to ask you to do, and you've got to perform. And there's a short leash on that. And so that's why you'll see guys come from undrafted free agents and become really great players, because it's a league where, like, you've got to perform. And so anytime a guy performs well, we don't care where they come from.
Chris, I grew up not liking quarterbacks, you know, obviously trying to chase them down. But tell us about evaluating a quarterback position. It seems really hard to do, one of the hardest positions ever. And as a GM, how do you even start? And, you know, I hear that a guy has all the intangibles, but then the ball snaps, he just doesn't have the ability. How do you evaluate that position?
It is very difficult. It is very difficult now, you know, and since Andrew retired, it's been our greatest struggle here, you know, and it is, because it's such it's like the head coach and the quarterback. They're going to get all the credit when you win, and they're going to get all the blame when you lose. And, you know, until you live with somebody, you really don't know who they are and how they're going to handle the pressure of what that position entails. And so we have a young, talented guy that we really like, but he is young and talented, and he's got to go through the steps of failing and then being able to overcome that. And so, like, you want to see in a quarterback's background a guy that's really had to grind at it, guy that's had to really work and endure some struggles along the way and then had success. Like, the one thing with the quarterback position now in college, they all bolt. Like, the second of adversity, not 100% the case, but they leave instead of staying and developing and working through it. Like, failure's not a bad thing. And I don't necessarily blame the kids, you know, parents. The kids haven't changed today. It's the parents have changed. And they don't want to let their kids struggle, if I can give any advice, it's like the best, let them struggle. Like, I always tell our children, like, I'm not going to save you. You know, I will guide and help, but I'm not going to save you. You have to figure out the problem, you know. And so when you start to struggle, don't expect mom and dad to save you. You know, I'm not going to let you drown, but you're going to have to figure the problem out yourself. And today's age, every parent wants their kid to be number one in the rankings, on the best little league team, on the best AAU team, instead of, hey, let's just go play sports, have fun, get better, compete our ass off, and get better along the way. Those kids are usually the ones in the long run that end up being good players. And case in point is Tyler Warren. Like, I'm almost amazed that people don't talk about this more, but here's a tight end that is really talented. It stayed at Penn State his whole career and really didn't blow up until his last year, you know, but he endured, he got better, he kept working, he never bitched. I mean, and then when I met his father, when his father came the other day, you know, we flew him in, you know, after picking him, and I met his mom and dad, I'm like, okay, I get it. That's why this kid is going to be successful. The quarterback thing's a complicated one, guys. It's a hard look. If I had a magic formula, if anybody did, we'd all make a lot more money.
Well, thank you so much, Chris. Do you have anything else for us in terms of Wisconsin Badgers football or your relationship with Barry?
Well, he knows I love him, and I'm appreciative of him, grateful for him, man. There's he could have easily tossed me to the side, and I've always been very grateful. Very grateful. He tried to bring me back as a GA, and I was too dumb to take it because I was stubborn.
If I read the Wikipedia page right, you went on to be a history teacher for a while?
It was a very short while before I went to Kingsville and coached. And then at Kingsville, I got spoiled because we had so many NFL players. I thought that was normal. When you've got a secondary full of guys that are playing in the league, Al Harris, who just got put into the Green Bay Hall of Fame, is what I mean. We had a bunch of NFL players come out of there. I was very fortunate during that time to really. I would probably tell you that experience led me to doing what I am doing today, was invaluable because it was Division II football. And we never lowered Coach Harms, who was the head coach there, never lowered his standard on what he wanted to recruit. He wanted NFL-type players. Now, they weren't always the cleanest, which I was good with that. I could handle those. Like, I could relate and handle and connect with about any kid anyways because I was real and honest with them. And so that experience was extremely valuable for me.
That's fantastic, and it's led you to a great place as the general manager of the Indianapolis Colts, who are set to have a pretty good season in my mind. So we're grateful to have you and your time tonight.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Hey, Chris, we really appreciate it.
Yeah,
Badger
thank
love,
you. Thank
man.
You, Chris.
Badger love.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah,
great to see
appreciate y'all having me on. Yeah, appreciate it. You too. Y'all be good.
You
go
too.
Go Colts.
All right.
You'll catch me saying that another time. All right, that was Chris Ballard, the general manager of the Indianapolis Colts, who just drafted Hunter Woehler out of Wisconsin in the 7th round. We're going to wrap up the show coming up shortly here. This is the...
How gracious is that guy?
That's
and by
so
the way,
nice.
All the stuff we were saying, a lot of it, you know, get an edge. You ever hear that one before from our former coach? You could tell that he was coached by Coach Alvarez, and he said it himself.
You know, Coach always talked about, Coach, and you could say it, adversity, overcoming adversity. That pendulum swings in the game, you know, in life. All these things come at you. You got to hang in there, keep fighting, competing. Coach, is that, I mean, he's
it
talking your language.
It all comes back, regardless of whatever business or whether you're talking football or anything else. It all comes back.
It all comes back and will come back in a moment. It is The Huddle on ESPN Madden. Unrelated breaking news today. Shaquille O'Neal becomes the Sacramento State general manager, according to Shams Chamara. This is The Huddle on ESPN Madison with Barry Alvarez. I'm Alex Pratt alongside Tarek Salah, Derek Engler. You guys like Shaq?
Well, I don't because he's not going to be on TNT anymore. I listen in for him and Barkley going at each other.
Coach Alvarez, you seem like a big Shaquille O'Neal guy.
I like Shaq.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm... Are you hearing me?
I hear you loud and clear. I agree completely. Shaquille's great. I mean, he's...
You know what? I've run into Shaq several times throughout my career, and I happen to like Shaq. Big personality. You want him on your team.
When did you run into Shaq?
And a lot of different things, whether it be basketball, I think some bowl games, different bowl functions, different functions, particularly out west, out in Phoenix, like the Fiesta Frolic and different things like that.
Maybe the Champions Tour here in Madison, the AmFam Champions Tour for golf. Did he come back here for that?
I don't remember that. Yeah. I don't remember running into him there, but I've run into him.
All right. And you guys get along just fine? Coach?
Yeah, I was frozen up. I didn't hear anything.
There it is. And you guys get along just fine?
I really like him. I get along great.
Fantastic.
You know, I'm ugly enough. He recognized me. He spot me and come over. Hey, coach, what's going on? We'd shoot the breeze for a little bit. And I really liked him.
Well, him and Barkley do a great job, and he's funnier than heck. And then I heard he's very generous. I mean, what he does for charities and different people.
Absolutely. His new role?
He is the general manager of the Sacramento State basketball team. And we just spoke
he's the NIL director for
pretty
Sacramento
much.
State.
Yeah, yeah,
so he's not leaving TNT. He's not leaving that. Well,
He's going to finance that Sacramento.
Yeah, he got a kid going there? What's the ties there? Come on, G-Man. You got to do your research here. Yeah, he did. That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, I think he's – yeah, that's volunteer time. Yeah. He's just giving back.
Well, yes, and there have been a few. Brian Windhorst just did something similarly. Windy went from ESPN to the director of – or the general manager of his –
Is it Crosby, Eastern Michigan NIL guy, the defensive end?
Yeah, Max Crosby.
Crosby.
Thank you, Riley. Out back
he's
behind run, the
he's
glass.
Running that. He's financing it and running Eastern Michigan's
Andrew
NIL.
Andrew Luck at Stanford.
We're speaking about Giants here with Shaquille O'Neal, who's doing his thing. I want to read you the scouting report of Anthony Belton, the Packers' second-round pick, offensive tackle. He is a monster of a man. Now, I know from our conversation before the show that, Derek, you are a little gassed up about this guy. You think very highly of him.
I got fired up.
I,
as much as the crowd did up in Green Bay, because I heard the roar when they picked that kid from Texas, the wide receiver, hadn't been done in over two decades, picking a first-round receiver.
That kid was not alive the last time the Packers drafted
exactly.
a wide receiver.
So that, the place went nuts when that happened. And inside, I actually happened to be with Mark Tauscher, and, we talked about this guy, and let me tell you, I, in my opinion, believe that whether it's right or left tackle, he will end up starting at some point in the season, and as long as he stays healthy, I think he keeps the job.
Well, Zach Tom is real good on the right side, whereas the left side is relatively up for grabs.
That's hard as a rookie. So I could see Tom moving over, or maybe, I could see a lot of different scenarios there.
You're not a fan of him?
I think that he's good. All of the things that I've heard is that he is a fourth-round pick. He's somebody who has a little bit of work to do yet, but much to Chris Ballard's point, the Colts general manager who just joined, he's the kind of guy who worked through the adversity, right? He joined a JUCO. He went to he transferred to a larger school where he was able to fight and become better, but he never really took that step into a tactician. But he is 6'6", 336.
You're starting to drown a little bit. You're going to start going on hand placement and stuff? I didn't know we had Bill Callahan as our host
Zach
right here.
Zach Tom is a technician, and he did it as a rookie. That's the only way he made it in the league.
Oh, yeah. I'm saying Belton has these knocks on his scouting report. Here are the weaknesses. Unable to gather and correct quickly. His second-level targets are able to elude his blocks. Inconsistent hand placement leads to slippage and shaky sustain. So when you hear these
things, everybody's the expert. I love this.
I'm not the expert.
Who wrote that?
Exactly,
what
coach.
A brilliant O line coach wrote that.
But I heard this
from evaluation.
It was a slappy scout. You know that.
I've heard from
who hadn't been in a 3-point stance in his life.
Exactly.
I've got friends who are like soccer players that are commenting like that. It's obnoxious. Not, I'm worried about his hand placement, his footwork.
Can he keep the guy away from the quarterback?
Yeah.
So the guy's a man. He's a road grader, a man mountain. And, a guy has that athletic ability, that strong, by the way. This isn't a big man that doesn't have strength. He has all of
it. And you know what? If he can't play tackle, he'll play guard, and he'll be a great guard for a long, long time. So you're not going to lose with this guy. As long as he stays healthy. That'd be the only thing I'm concerned about.
Is health.
Health.
Otherwise, worry about his hand placement.
Yeah, on somebody's neck.
Well, you didn't wait to hear the good things about him. He's got a wide frame that slows rushers in progress.
I bet they told
him. No shit, he's 400 pounds.
dump.
Lights are going off.
I wonder if Eric Williams, a great right tackle for the Dallas Cowboys, perennial All-Pro, if he ever was told, I'm worried about his hand placement. Ask Michael Strahan where he got hit every single time we played the Cowboys, right in the face. I'm not worried about this guy because he's got a violent streak in him, too.
And
he's got an aggressive streak.
He gets off the ball. Absolutely. I mean, that's all he needs to do. Just get off the ball.
All right, well, the Packers have a mountain of a man, and we've got one more segment left. This is the ESPN Madison Huddle with Barry Alvarez.
Welcome back, welcome back. Welcome back.
Yeah, man, how you doing? You good?
I know you like that. I know you like that.
How long you been back, man?
All right, we got about 2 minutes left here. The Badgers wrapped up spring ball. They're on to the regular season, right? The Miami of Ohio comes here in exactly 4 months. And to help get everyone ready and jazzed up for it, John Gruden came to Wisconsin not too long ago. This is the great. This is the Huddle on ESPN Madison. I'm Alex Rett alongside Barry Alvarez, Tarek Salla, and Derek Engler. And John Gruden came out and said, everybody has dreams. I'm into nightmares. And he used that to spark a conversation about ending the dreams and being the nightmare of Miami of Ohio when they're here. Now, Coach Alvarez, you know John Gruden is what I understand. Is that correct?
I do.
And what do you think? What do you make of this? What do you make of wanting to absolutely annihilate, eviscerate that first team coming in with high hopes and maybe not as much skill?
Well, you know what? John Gruden's into that. He's into different motivational tools. And I wouldn't put a lot of I'd have our guys ready for Miami of Ohio, but more for Ohio State. So I wouldn't put all my eggs in a basket.
Coach.
Use a lot of my motivational tools for Ohio, for Miami of Ohio.
It's ironic you say that because right off air I was saying, yeah, well, this is as I'm watching social media the week before he came to Wisconsin. He's opening an Ohio State Buckeye, and he's doing his song and dance box of the swag bag and doing this and doing this. And then after he visited us, he's getting another swag box from Coach Fickell from Badgers. And the Badgers, he's yelling all these great Badgers out. You know, that you said it. That is John Gruden.
He's trying to figure out what city he's in?
Yeah.
He's a cheerleader. You know, John's going around the country making friends.
Yes. For sure.
He does a great job presenting, though. And he puts on
does.
Speech.
Yeah.
It was entertaining.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
he loves football.
He loves football. Apparently, Tedrone McMillan does not. The former Arizona, whatever it is they just did not land a good pick. The Carolina Panthers. To mention what we were talking about earlier, but this has been the Huddle on 100.5 with Barry Alvarez.
I tell you what, it was great to hear Coach's voice back on with us.
Great to hear your voice, Coach.
Hey, always good to be with you guys. Love being here.
All right.
All right. Bye, Coach. That's all we have today. Take care. Be good.